This is not a particular Bible study. It was just, I was looking through some old morning devotional notes the other day, and I came across this verse, which I haven't read for a while, to be honest. And it's in Psalm 51. And it's at verse 9, and it says, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And I think that's what we've been talking about this morning. That's what we've asked the Lord to do for Colin and Jacqueline, to give them that strength and that willingness to serve and to be not put off. But you know, I looked at this and I thought, the whole context of this was David, King David, when he had an immoral relationship. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then she ended up getting pregnant. And he wanted Uriah the Hittite, her husband, to come back and spend a few nights with her, because they were out fighting a battle. And David should have been out there as well. So he got into trouble because he was in the wrong place. But here was a situation where he brought Uriah back and he said, "You know, you've done well out in the battlefield, Uriah. Have a few nights with your wife and all the rest of it, and you know, it'll be good for you." And Uriah refused it and he said, I can't in good conscience go and lie with my wife and eat good food when my brothers are out there lying in damp fields and being slaughtered and killed." And he wouldn't do it. So David then took the next step and virtually ordered his murder. Send him back to the lines, and when you get him back to the lines, he told his army commander, "Make sure he's at the forefront as they attack the strongest point in the city. And when he's there at the forefront, withdraw from him and leave him abandoned." And so they did, and Uriah was killed. And effectively, David was guilty of murder, because he had planned it. And you see where these things take you. It's, you know, we look back, and David looked back, and he couldn't go forward until he had looked back. We can't live in the past, but we need to learn from the past. We need to be able to go forward, but we need to look back and do what David did here. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." He knew what he had done. Indeed, earlier in Psalm 51, he says, "It's not against Uriah and against Bathsheba and all the rest of them. It's against you and you alone, Lord, have I sinned." And sometimes that's where we can't go forward. I know that in my life there have been points where I would rather have done things differently. I've done things that have been downright wrong. And I've never, sometimes I've never dealt with them properly. And they hang on there like a hook in your back. And as you go forward, you think, what is it that's wrong with me? Why am I seemingly, everything seems to be an effort and a problem? And it's usually because we won't look back and see what it is that's holding us. There's a chain round our ankles and we refuse to acknowledge it. Now, Christ has set us free for these things. And David eventually acknowledged this. And he said to the Lord, "Hide your face from my sin and my iniquity." And the next thing he said was, "Create in me a pure heart." And that only comes through acknowledgement. When we look back, I'm quite sure there are places where we can all look back and there are pinpoints we say, well, that was a good thing. That was something that changed me and moved my direction. And at other times, this was a bad time. And I didn't deal with it properly. And it's been a rope, a chain around my ankle ever since. Maybe the chain gets a wee bit longer, but all you do is add a link to the chain. You never actually break the chain. So I'm encouraging you this morning, just as Colin and Jacqueline move into that place of leadership, make sure that we all ask the Lord, create in us a pure heart, Lord. And that's not something that you think, well, how can that be? That comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. God will proclaim in you a pure heart. Because when he looks at you and I, he sees our righteousness and not our sin. Your sins are forgiven. Hide your face from my sins and set aside all my iniquity, Lord. Create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, why would they want a steadfast spirit? Because when you're steadfast and you're honest with yourself, you don't allow yourself to fall back into the old ways. You don't allow yourself to be targeted by the enemy and pulled back. That's what steadfastness is. Steadfastness, the word that means to be firmly planted, that you're immovable, that you're just, you've got a direction and that's it. I'm steadfast in this. This is what I want to achieve. I'm going to follow the Lord. And even although the temptation is there beside me or behind me to go back to the old ways, I've broken that chain. God has created in me a clean heart, a pure heart. And that's the way that I want to honour God with it. And David goes on, he can't understand how this great and wonderful and loving God would ever accept him back. This is a man who has committed murder and adultery. It's not a case that he's just been drinking too much or gambling too much. This is a guy that has really, he's put out the whole lot. He committed adultery with another man's wife and then he's stepped up and got the guy murdered just so that he wouldn't be found out. But God always finds us out. Your sin will always find you out. We see that with all of these people that are now being brought to book for the way that they've treated children in the past, these child abuse cases. These are people that thought they had got away with it. These are people that, and even if they had got away with it up until they died, they still have to face the Lord. They still have to justify themselves before God. So before we get to that stage, let that be our war cry. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew that steadfast spirit or that right spirit within me. David knew what he deserved, but he asked the Lord, do not cast me from your presence. Don't leave me, Lord. Don't leave me bereft. For if you leave me bereft, who else is there? Who else do I have? Men have let me down. I've let myself down. People have let me down on numerous occasions. Lord, don't cast me away from you. Don't consider my sins too bad that you would cast me from you. And I want to tell you this morning. God will never turn you away. David may have cried out in his, and in some measure I've cried out as well. And I'm sure many in here have cried out, Lord, I know that I've got this wrong. I know that I've got it, you know, upside down, back to front. But Lord, don't leave me. Don't let your Holy Spirit depart from me. Because if that happens, I'm lost. Totally and absolutely lost. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Notice, it's not my salvation or your salvation. It's his salvation. He's the one that accomplishes it. There's a joy in salvation. How many people in here, and I don't want hands up, but just think about it. How many of you, like me over the years, at some point have lost your joy? And you think, what's the point going forward here? I've allowed myself to be dragged into this and dragged into that. I've treated badly this person or that person. I've not been the father in the household I should have been. I've not been the wife to a husband that I should have been. And there we are. The joy disappears. And David asks, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. The joy comes when you know that the chains for the past are broken. That again you can walk forward. You never realise how big a burden you're carrying until the burden's laid down. You know, I watch these football players and rugby players and sprinters, and they run around with this great big tractor tyre behind them, tied on with a chain. And they can maybe run at maybe 10 miles an hour, but the strength that builds up in them, when they take the tyre off, they think, gosh, I could fly here. You know, there's nothing holding me back. And that's the burden, in some measure, of sin. Your sins are forgiven, guys. Yes, they are. So don't allow the enemy to come in and put a hook on you. And people say to me, well, saying that, all you're offering them is cheap grace. Grace was won at a great price. It certainly wasn't cheap. Should we go on sinning so that grace may abound? That's what Paul said. And he said, no, certainly not. But where there is sin, grace will abound more and more and more. And if you don't know Jesus this morning and you feel that you've been tied down by the things of the past, when you look back and you think, oh, what a mess I've made in my life. And you know, when you get to my age, you get they call it the contemplative years, when you think about things that maybe you haven't thought about for a long time. And you look back and you say, Lord, all of these things that you've rescued me from. And that verse there, you know, create in me a pure heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Not the knowledge of your salvation, but the joy that it brings. Who in here can actually say that the day they get saved that they weren't joyful? I know that I was. And there have been times in my life when the joy has kind of dried up. And so offer you that this morning. Just this willingness. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And you know, even if we took those few verses and prayed them every day, it would be enough. It would be enough for a personal prayer. Let me just read it again. Hide your face from my sins, O Lord, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. In the next two verses, or the next verse says, then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will turn back to you. That's your testimony. That's your willingness. When you know where you stand with Jesus, when you're in that place where Christ has created that joy in you again, you can go and you can speak to people and you can speak to those who are suffering in their sin. Not just Christians, but those who are non-Christians, that the things that they've got wrong, you can say, you know, there is a way out of this. I've found it. Would you like to know it? It's an opening for your testimony. And you know, last week I gave you a lot of bits of testimony in the study we did in Acts about how the Lord had come upon me by the Holy Spirit, but that's only part of it. Don't get me wrong, there are many times that I failed. And maybe I should have included that. Because we're no perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. Jesus wouldn't have to come. So don't put yourself down. Just ask the Lord, Lord, hide your sin from me. Forgive me for that. And restore to me that joy of your salvation. Amen. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this good day, Lord. And we thank you for all that's happened today, Lord, for that. The blessing of just raising Colin and Jacqueline up to be leaders in the church, Lord. And we pray your blessing upon them and their family, Father. And for all, Lord, who have shared testimony here this morning, Father. For the kids for singing, Lord. For all who have just come here, Lord, and been encouraged by you, Lord, that the joy of your salvation might be theirs this morning. So, Father, be with us as we go for our lunch now, Lord. Let it be a time of fellowship and sharing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.